everybody. Welcome to episode 58 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Tuesday, and it's October 24th. We've nearly made it to the end of the year.
Yeah, it's not too far away.
No.
Since it's only 9 or 10 weeks until Christmas, we thought this episode we'd give you some ideas on different books that we've enjoyed that you might like to give for Christmas presents.
We're being Santa's elves.
That's right. And we've got lots of news to catch up on too. So firstly, if you enjoy our podcast and you'd like to help us out by caffeinating us, you can go to teaintheTreetops.com and there's a button there that says buy us a coffee. And you can go and give us a couple of dollars towards buying coffee or whatever.
Maybe we should be changing our blog title to Caffeination and books or something. I don't know. Caffeinate us.
It doesn't quite have the same ring to it. But anyway, I wanted to clarify that it's not, it's a one-off payment. It's not like
you're not subscribing.
It's not Patreon where you have sign up for like a monthly thing or per episode. No, this is just a one-off thing. Okay, so if you're willing to do that for us, we need the caffeine like you wouldn't believe.
As we sit here,
yes,
finishing our mugs of coffee.
So first up, there's some exciting news.
Yes.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the play, parts 1 and 2, are going to be coming to Australia.
And hey, while I was excited, I was like, this isn't Hamilton. And so I'm not that excited. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
That's the news that I'm waiting for.
Yeah,
and I'll probably wet myself when that happens. And I'll get tagged like 100 billion times by people.
Yes, yes.
Everyone knows of my Hamilton obsession, which is still quietly going on in the background.
That's fine. Obsessions don't go away.
This is still incredibly exciting. I totally agree.
Well, it's going to be on in Melbourne at the Princess Theatre in early 2019, apparently.
I know.
So it's still a little way off. But if you go to HarryPotterThePlay.com, you can sign up for their notifications to tell you when the tickets are coming.
Which is what I need to do. And if there was a Hamilton one, I'd have done that too.
Well, I'm sure they'll set that up when they decide to come. But anyway, that's exciting. So I'm going to, I don't know how much the tickets are going to be.
2019, really, I'll have graduated by then. I might actually have an income. I might be able to fly down to Melbourne for that one.
Oh, I don't know if they're going to be going to different places in Australia.
If it's 2019, like it will. It's big enough, it will come to Brisbane eventually. But it will be at least another 12 to 18 months past that. Like, it's going to do its run before they start.
It'll have to go to Sydney.
And it will have to do Sydney. So it might not be till 2020, 2021. Like, how creepy is that, saying those dates?
I know. That's the future.
That is the future.
Wow. We'll be riding to see kids. Harry Potter on our hoverboards.
I still can't believe it's been more than 20 years since Harry Potter first got released. That's how old we are. Anyway.
Mm. Anyway. So that's exciting. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. So speaking of Harry Potter, I took Matthew to see Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yes.
With the Queensland Symphony Orchestra. And that was amazing, and I loved it.
Because I do, like, Azkaban's my favourite, and I did see that's coming next year. Yeah, that's right, and they've already started putting out little feelers for that one. I was like, well, if you thought the Chamber of Secrets one was good, maybe it's worth forking out for my favourite one, my favourite book.
Chamber of Secrets is my favourite soundtrack, I think.
Is it?
Well, I haven't listened to a lot of the other soundtracks, but I really love that soundtrack.
I haven't really thought about it from a soundtrack perspective.
Well, that's what you're there for, the story. Like, for the music. But as I was watching it, I was thinking, geez, I love this movie. Like, it's not the best. There's a lot of overacting in it.
The story is the weakest of all of the stories that she wrote.
But it was, I enjoyed it, and Matthew enjoyed it too. Like, he's only six, and he kept asking questions like, who's that guy? What are they doing now?
Yes.
I'm just like, just shut up and watch the movie. But we loved seeing the orchestra. And
by this time next year, they're probably, do you know what I mean? They're probably, are they going to be out of the questioning? Because Caitlin in Disney on Ice was just a nightmare going, how are they doing that? That's on wheels. That's not real.
Oh, really?
And I was like, enjoy the magic. Sorry. It was very stressful.
Analytical, logical people.
No, just trying to work out where this was, yeah, how she goes, this can't be real. Like, she's obviously really getting that line of real, not real. Anyway, I was like, just appreciate it for what it is and don't worry.
Well, that's cool. But, yeah, it was funny because I kept forgetting the orchestra was there until, like, because it's just part of the soundtrack of the movie. And then suddenly there'd be, like, a gong or something would really go and you go, oh, that's right. But, yeah, the QSO put on a good show too, so.
They probably enjoy doing things like that.
Oh, yeah. I love playing that kind of movie music. So much fun. But anyway, every time I go to something like that, it reminds me that I haven't, like, picked up my cello for, like, over 10 years and I probably should really try that at some point.
Do you reckon you still could? Because I was thinking, because I played the clarinet and I was still, like,
play the piano even though I haven't played it for, like, 25 years.
See, I don't know. I reckon... I was like, could I play the clarinet again? If someone put one in my hands, could I do it?
It takes a bit.
It probably would take a little bit. You'd be a bit rusty. That's what I'm trying to do with my Italian at the moment. Because I did Italian in primary school. I only did it in primary, though. I did German in high school. But I was like, I wonder how much of it will come back to me.
Yes.
And it's funny because some things, like the male, female, I know. I don't have to think about it. I seem to know. But everything else, like the actual words, I'm really rusty on. But it's like, obviously it's something stuck because the whole, like, because it changes the whole words based on if it's male or female and the way you're putting it. So it's interesting that of all the concepts seems to have innately stuck with me. Yes.
Since the last time we talked, I've been to quite a few bookie things. So I just want to quickly mention.
Because I haven't.
I was on the radio.
That's very exciting.
I may have mentioned it last time, but Rhianna Patrick's show on, once a month she has an Aussie show where she talks about Aussie YA.
Well, Jean was off honeymooning in Hawaii.
Jean was in Hawaii having a lovely time and I warmed up her chair for her, talking about Beautiful Mess by Claire Christian, which I think I mentioned. I just finished reading it last time, I think.
Yes.
And a semi-definitive list of Worst Nightmares by Crystal Sutherland, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But that was a lot of fun. It was great to see how a radio show works because I've never been in a radio studio
before. I'm sure it's a lot more professional than our podcast.
Well, yeah, but, you know. But, yeah, that was really good fun. So there's a recording of it on her website, on the ABC website. So if you want to listen to it, I'll put a link in the notes and you can go and have a listen. It's lots of fun. I went to an event at the Brisbane Square Library where all bookie events are these days.
Well, some of them are on West End. Some of them are out
that
way. Some
of them are at the bookshops, but this one, was in the library. It was the authors of Take Three Girls, which is a Aussie YA
collaboration.
Kath Crowley, Fiona Wood, and Simone Howell, which is out a little bit earlier in the year, but they came and had a discussion. They were discussing their sort of writing
process.
You know, their process of writing a book together and their inspirations. And because Take Three Girls is
contemporary, correct?
It is. It's about these girls who go to a private school, and they're very different, but they all have this same experience in that they get targeted by this, like, gossip website, like a website that's set up by some other students that is posting rude things about them. So,
do you know what it makes me think of? Do you remember when we were in high school? So this is thinking back a long time now. Queen Cat, Carmel and St. Jude Get a Life. Do you remember that book? It was this really massive contemporary about teenage girls.
Okay.
It sounds like that meets Gossip Girl. That's what that book sounds like to me.
Okay.
Queen Cat, Carmel and St. Jude Get a Life. It was like the 90s teenage, apparently, experience.
Right, okay. I must have been too into fantasy at the time.
Well, look, I was, but I still read it because everyone was raving about it. So I was like, what's the big deal?
Well, this one sounds really cool. It sounds like a lot of fun, but I haven't read it yet, but I hope I'll get around to it. Oh, my God, my to-read pile is to the ceiling.
Oh, my goodness. I know exactly what you mean because I've cocooned myself away from reading basically for the last 10 weeks. And now I feel very behind.
And I keep going to these events and buying more books, and then so many good books have come out in the last couple of months. Oh, my God.
I'm just going to say sorry because I'm back onto this Queen Cat, Carmel and St. Jude because I just Goodreads'd it. And I just think it's interesting because this is a 90s book, right? And the girls they've got on the front cover are like twice the size as people they put on the front cover of a book today. I really feel like since the 90s to today, girls have expected to get even skinnier. Really? It's like when you look at the original Beverly Hills 90210 cast, they're actually quite plump in comparison. They were skinny, but in comparison to what is considered on TV today, they're really,
Oh, that's so sad.
Anyway, sorry, that's just a completely...
Interesting. I shall put a picture of the cover. Different
side notes. Yes, put a picture of it. Put a picture of it.
Okay, so we've got a bit more news about things that are coming up. Okay. We've got at the State Library on Friday the 24th of November. This is for teen listeners or teachers or parents, I guess.
Oh, yeah,
this Girls awesome. Ride Up. Mm. I believe that this event, it's run by the Stella Prize people.
Okay.
And they have it in other states, but now they're coming to Brisbane. So, so this is for, okay, I'll read the description on the website. It's for anyone who has felt limited by their gender and wants to understand how language can not only constrain but also be used to liberate and empower. It's an inclusive event open to all teens aged 12 to 18. So it's probably going to be fairly heavily feminist focused, but they do say it's inclusive, so anyone can come to it, not just girls, not just teen girls even, and about empowering your own writing to give more of an identity to your voice, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds amazing. It is on a Friday, so it's not... It's aimed at school kids.
So is it after school?
No, it goes all day.
So you can not be at school for it? Is that what they're basically saying? Well,
I think what they're aiming for is for school groups to go.
Okay, yeah.
It is November 24th. I think school finishes early December this year.
It's December, like first it's December 8th.
Yeah, yeah.
As it's someone really that early. Had to know exactly when school finished so I could plan things. But
So basically the seniors will be finished by then, but...
Oh, that's a good point. Can, yeah, so this is really aimed at that older, like really they're aiming at more of the 16, 17-year-olds in that group.
Maybe, yeah.
Grade 11
the younger
12.
Ones can go the younger school ones, group.
If they're really passionate, are still going to be able to go. That's right.
Yep. So some great authors and...
I feel like high school teachers that teach English should be all over this one.
Author Steph Bowe will be there.
Oh yeah, we've been to events with her before.
I think so, yeah.
We did. She was at the first panel of events, I'm pretty sure, or the second when we started going to the Writers Festival.
Okay.
We've definitely listened to her process.
I really want to read her books, but I haven't read any of them.
Because she was talking about how she chose not to use an Australian but to go overseas, and she reckons that was a big deal. That's why she got published in the first place.
Right. And we've also got Claire Christian, whose beautiful mess I just read recently.
Yep.
Candy Bowers, who's a playwright, an actor and a producer. There's a lot of different people from, you know, journalists and artists and different creative people involved. So it sounds like it'd be a really great event. So check that out. It's on the 24th of November. And you can find out more information on the stellaprize.com.au, I think. Or maybe it's not .com. I don't know.
The stellaprize.com.au.
Website.
I just looked it up, sorry.
Thank you. And the last bit of exciting news I wanted to share was that Kate Drews, who is also known as Paper Fury all of the social medias, she's got a book deal.
Who has the most amazing Instagram feed.
She does take really amazing pictures and write hilarious tweets as well. But she's got a book coming.
Exciting. 1,000 Congratulations.
Perfect Notes. Yeah. 1,000 Perfect Notes. So it's going to be published next year, in June next year.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how she feels after being on the other side of the fence for so long.
Yeah. Do you know she's to one put of those people who sleep? Reads like 200 books a year.
I know,
like,
I know. I don't know how she does it. She's so busy with that.
But that's amazing. So her book's going to be published under the name C.G. Drews, if you're looking for it. And it is a contemporary YA about a boy who is he's basically abused by his mother because she wants him to be like a concert pianist and he doesn't really want to, and he's trying to get away from that life and whatever.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty cool, but I admit to being like slightly disappointed that it doesn't involve dragons, since Kate's always going on about how much she loves putting dragons in things. Oh, but, you know, it's going to be cool. It's going to be fine. I'm excited.
You know, they say sometimes you're best to not write in your genre that you like reading in, because often you're too passionate. You can't see past.
All right, you get too influenced by other people. Although it's really hard to write outside of your genre, though.
That was a piece of advice I remember reading when I was really into the, what's the Australian author's name? Read her years ago now, and I don't think you've read her, Sarah, Big Fantasy.
Oh, Sarah Douglas?
Sarah Douglas. Okay. And she gave lots of advice because she taught writing and English in Adelaide or South Australia. But she was like, sometimes you're best to not write in the genre that you actually thought you would be best writing in, that you enjoy reading, because you just can't see past what's actually good. She goes, okay, go in there eventually, but for your first couple, sometimes you need to move out. She was originally going to write romance, and then she switched into fantasy. So there you go.
Wow. Okay. Bit of writing advice there. Well, do you want to talk about what you have been reading, since there hasn't been a whole lot of it?
This is going to be very short and sweet.
You've been very busy with your uni stuff.
It's nearly over. It's nearly over. For it to then begin immediately again. Mm. Anyway, that's another story. So I think I may have just started reading, or perhaps I already talked about this last time. I can't quite remember. So sorry to anybody that already heard this. But I read a review copy by Alexandra Manier called The Final Six. So it was quite interesting. It was an easy read. It's not a very complex story, but it was fun. And I really got the essence, like the impression that essentially it was written to be picked up as a TV/movie deal.
Right, yeah.
Because it's just got that, the writing style, you could just tell that was kind of, there's lots of characters, and I think it's been written for TV, to be honest.
Yep.
It was excellent. It was very topical. Again, I don't know how savvy she was thinking about that, but it's basically, global warming has already now. It's not where we are now. It's in the future. Global warming has done and dusted. It's no turning back. Whole cities are being wiped out by typhoons and tidal waves. And, you know, Rome, for example, one of the characters is from Italy, mm-hmm. is completely underwater. Like, you know, there's a few high rises and things where they, you know, the remaining survivors that, you know, made it out, live, that's about it. Yeah. So anyway, because of this, they're expecting Earth is going to die. They've got one last ditch attempt where they think they finally got the technology down, where they're going to be able to send some people to Jupiter's moon, Europa. For reasons I can't remember, but it's something to do with the fact that, you know, they're still supple, they need to send teenagers. Hence the YA angle. So I think it's something to do with they haven't fully developed or something like that, so they cope better in out of space environment or in the gravity of Europa or whatever it is. So there's a draft, you're not allowed out, it's got imprisonment if you get picked and you refuse to go. And it's about the 6 teenagers that have been picked to be taken. Sorry, there's 24, but 6 are going to get sent on the actual mission. So the first book is all about nutting down from 24 to the final 6 that are going to go to this mission.
TV, but
it is set up like a reality TV because this is Earth's final hope, and they're trying to, and there's a big undercurrent of, is this actually ever going to happen, or is Earth just trying to keep people's minds off the fact that everyone's eventually doomed and there's no way they're going to survive.
Yep.
So it's two, there's a boy and a girl. It's got a romance element to it, but the girl's from the US, the boy's from Italy, and it's all about getting it into this final mission. And then there's some other twists at the end, which are for book two, but so written for TV. It was exactly how I felt when I read The Hundred. It's not actually a particularly brilliant book. It's readable, it's easy to read, but you could tell it could actually make a very good television show storyline, and there's lots of story that can go on from it too. So so that's basically, I read that, and I read that a month ago. Other than that, I think all I have read is, I've been listening still to Replica, except I finally got into it now. And so Replica is a really interesting book concept, which is like, I've got the audio book, but the physical book, I think you actually flip from side to side. Yeah, so one side's the character Lyra, the other side's the character Gemma.
Yep.
You can either read them interchangeably, so alternate chapters, or you can read each story individually, one after the other. So I've finished Lyra's story now, because with the audiobook, while you could jump, I was not bothering to jump backwards and forwards. It sounded way too difficult. So I've read Lyra, and it took me ages to get into it because I was so tired and kept falling asleep within 10 minutes.
Yes.
But when I finally got into it, I got quite hooked, and it's very interesting, and it's a lot about the ethical ramifications of cloning And I mean, that's my sort of science fiction book when you're really looking at that, and, you know, all the undercover conspiracies and, you know, ethics behind it. And I'm just starting the the Gemma side of things now. So, and the sequel, I think, has either just been released or is about to be released.
Yeah.
So I've got a review copy of that, but I have a feeling I've missed its publication date and I've got to
get onto it. I don't know if it's actually out yet, but yeah.
It might be out October.
I don't know what it's called.
It's really quite good, and I feel like I'm reading it at the right time because I've just rewatched Blade Runner, which is, again, ethical ramifications of cloning.
Right.
And my sister is overseas at the moment, but when she comes back, we're going to go see the new one.
Right.
Cloning. So many Westworld, any Westworld fans, probably this is worth... I mean, this is a much more YA chick bed. Yeah. But, you know, it's still all that same ethical considerations that we possibly haven't looked at as to why cloning may not actually be a good idea.
Yes.
Yes. So there you go. And that is... Oh, and I've been rereading Angels and Demons by Dan Brown in anticipation for my room trip, which is about 60 something days away now.
Oh my god.
Not that I'm counting or anything. And so sadly, I remember loving Angels and Demons, and I'm rereading it going, the writing is actually not that great. Like, I mean, the atmosphere is great. The environment that they're in is awesome. Like, the landscape's awesome. The idea is awesome. I just felt that the beginning of that book was quite clunky, and I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest. Maybe I shouldn't have done a reread. I'll see how I feel at the end, because I'm going to reread them all, because I read the first three Robert Langdon's.
Yep.
Never did the Origins. I think actually Origins is the one that's just about to come out or has just come out. I never read Inferno. Whatever the fourth one was, I never read. So I was like, oh, I'm not that inspired. I was going to read all five in a row, but now I'm like, well, maybe I won't bother.
Are you going to go to the locations?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in walking distance of the Vatican, man. I'm going to be going there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, it's less than 2Ks from the Vatican. So I hope so.
Have you been there before?
No, I've never been to Italy before. And I'm such a history buff that I feel like I'm going to wet my pants with all of this historical.
And look,
brilliance all around me, and yet I've also got to write assignments and study. It's quite depressing that I'm going to have that to do.
I'm not a religious person at all, but I love the Vatican.
Yeah.
It's like, well, St. Peter's is just the most beautiful place.
As part of the course, we go to a papal hearing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we go to a papal hearing, and also because it's a healthcare ethics subject, we also do some volunteering for charities over there. Right, I don't know where yet, but so that will be interesting.
Yes.
I'm excited.
All the Roman stuff.
Well, I was obsessed with Pompeii when I was about 10. Absolutely obsessed with Pompeii. Yep. I read everything about it. I did assignments on it, and I'm like, I'm so doing that as a day trip. I don't care if I can't find anybody else to go with me. Yeah, that is a given.
Been there, but my mum and dad went there and they said it was incredible. Really fascinating.
I'm really stoked to see that. And the other girl I'm going with is absolutely obsessed with this art gallery in Florence. And I think that's going to be, although we've only got a couple of days for day trip, but I have a feeling
Florence is worth a visit.
That's a longer day trip though than
it is a long way
than
away.
Pompeii. Yep. Apparently the rail is brilliant, but still, yeah, anyway. We're going to squish as much in as well as the assignments and the learning, which we have to go to.
So jealous.
We've got traveler's grant, so we have to go to to pay it back.
Wow.
I know. And I think I have to write blog. I have to write a blog post too. I think that's part of the conditions of the traveler's grant. I have to admit I sort of fudged past that and just applied and I got accepted. So
that's exciting. Eh?
I'm very excited. Yes.
All right. I better talk about what I've been reading before we go on to this Christmas present thing. Okay, so I have not read a lot either, surprisingly.
Okay.
but it took me over a month to read God's Grave, which is a really long time for me. But
look, do you know what, though? I'm not surprised when you say that name, because I felt that it took quite a while to read the first one. It's not a fast read. The first one certainly wasn't a fast read.
It's so detailed, and I love J. Christoph, and his writing is so dense. Like, you know, he's very lyrical and descriptive. And I felt like I couldn't read it in a fast way, I guess. I couldn't skim it. So it took me a long time to get through it. And even though I thought Nevernight was awesome, Godsgrave okay. is more of a...
I don't know if I'm going to read this.
No, it's good, it's that. Good. I know, but it's because it's not the assassin part of it is there, but it's not a lot. It's about gladiators, and she goes to this gladiator school as a slave.
Just a second, she's going to another school?
Not a school, training camp type thing. No, there's these different houses that, like, basically houses yes. of gladiators who battle together in Godsgrave.
Well, it's very Rome or Italian-based, yeah. so yeah. it needed some gladiator-ish.
And they're all slaves. They all battle each other, and whoever's the winner is... anyway, I won't go into the details, oh. but...
This is very different to where I expected that to go. There's a lot of bloody
battles, gladiatorial battles, and I didn't love it as much as the first one.
Okay, because I was already on the fence after the end of the first one.
But and the actual ending is awesome, and the twists that come into the story are really exciting for the third one. But I just didn't love it as much as I did Never Night.
Because I wasn't that, like, I thought it was well written, but it was slow. I hated the audiobook voice. I would not do the next one as an audiobook if my life depended on it. But I was still already on the fence because I was like, it is pretty hard going, really, after the first one. And I'm like, did I love it enough to commit to another one?
Well, it's still
great.
It's still tense, like really great, good writing. It's just that the, gladiators don't really do it for me, so.
How do you like it in comparison to the Storm Dancer series?
Oh, I love that.
Which one was better?
I love Storm Dancer.
See, maybe I should have read that
first. It's more for high fantasy.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that would have been more my cup of tea too. See, I thought this one, because it had that sort of historical feel about it, I thought maybe I would really like it. But I don't know. And I thought the first book, just some of it was a bit too obvious.
Oh, okay.
At the end, like with how it twisted, I was like, oh, I kind of thought that seems a bit like
this one
blunt.
I didn't guess the twisting in this one, but
see,
it made sense.
I feel like I get a
happened.
Lot of these twists that other people say. I don't know. Am I too...
You're very good at it.
I wonder if I go hunting for it just to have it spoiled. I don't know. I don't know. I don't actively feel like I try and seek out. But then I go, I did get that right. That's a bit disappointing.
Well, in a book I'll talk about in a minute, this Mortal Coil, I guessed. But I want to talk about Semi-Definitive List of Worst Nightmares first.
Is it Crystal as good Sutherland. As I feel it looks?
It is really good. So Crystal Sutherland has this really quirky kind of writing style.
Okay.
Some of the lines she comes out with are just hilarious. And even though it's quite a dark book, really, because it's this girl's family.
All so many
has,
phobias, right?
So her family is cursed. That's supposedly cursed to die from their greatest fear. So her father lives in the basement for like 6 years. He hasn't come out of the basement because he's terrified of dying.
But what if your worst fear is death? Well, you die from death? I don't know. Does that work? Sorry. Anyway,
excuse me. No. Her brother, her twin brother,
Please
is afraid
don't tell
of the
me
dark.
I just spoiled things for myself. Anyway,
no. Okay. No. And he can't go anywhere in the dark, so because he can see things in the dark, and like it's super creepy at sometimes. And but she meets this guy, and they go through her list because she's made a list of her fears.
It's like
because
a reverse
she
bucket
thinks,
list.
And she hasn't got anything at number one because she knows that whatever goes at number one, that is her fear that she's going to die from. So she doesn't ever put anything at number one. She's got like 50 other things on her list, and so
each week
they go through an item on the list and they face it, and basically she's
what a
not afraid of it
way
anymore.
To live.
No, well, no, it's...
Does she actually know what she would put at number one, but she refuses to voice it? Or?
No, she doesn't want to ever put anything at number one.
So she doesn't actually know, though, what could be at number one. Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
But don't things you fear change as you grow? And
well, yeah.
Anyway, that doesn't fit with the story, does it? So.
But it's a really sweet kind of love story as well, and funny
a
lot of the time.
Is it a standalone?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Even though
so the ending ends and... You feel
yeah, there's
resolved.
An ending.
Okay.
Yes, it's got a lot of sort of, I guess you should say, trigger issues in it, like domestic violence, alcoholism, you know, anxiety. A lot of anxiety related things.
Oh, look, they're all phobic,
which
people.
Is very
that's,
dark.
That's where it boils down.
But it's such a great writing style. It like quirks it all up, so it makes it not too depressing to read.
And is it magical realism, or
there,
is it
there
more
is
contemporary?
A hint. There's a hint of magic about it. You're not really ever sure
if it's a real
if it's real.
Or not.
Yeah,
okay.
Until the end, and then things happen, and you're like, is this all real, or did she just imagine it all? Or, you know, it's very sort of unsure, the whole thing. But it's definitely worth a read.
Okay.
Great Oz YA kind of story. Get into it. It's actually set in the US, which I found really strange. I was like, why did she not?
She's Australian, isn't she?
Yeah, she's from Townsville. Do you think it would sell better? Probably, and I believe that it's sold film rights.
Is this the book already? That, do you remember, I think Felicity, before she finished up at Penguin Teen, said that there was this massive all-out war between all of the publishers to get this one book. I'm pretty sure this was it, because they thought it would just be excellent, and they were all trying to reserve the right. Was it Penguin Teen that got that?
Yeah, I think it was.
Because she was so Penguin. They were so stoked that they got it, because they just thought it was going to be excellent. So I have a feeling, because I had a feeling it was someone up north, that it was like someone that lived up north.
Well, she's from Townsville,
Queensland. Yeah, so that makes sense. I reckon that was it, because she was like, we don't have a name, we can't announce it yet, but it's just amazing.
Hmm.
There we go.
Well, I mean, from someone who doesn't normally read contemporary YA, I thought it was great. Okay. So yeah, get a hold of that one. And I also read This Mortal Coil by Emily Suvada. So this is coming out next week. Mm-hmm. It is YA sci-fi. So it's set in a future where everybody, it's like cyborg kind of thing. Like everyone's got this, when they're born, they get this thing, in a bud basically put in their arm. And as they grow like this neural network around their body, and they're controlled, like through their brain, everything they're controlled.
Who controls
them? It's controlled by a panel in your arm, and you can download like apps, I guess, like programs to put in your kit that does different things for you.
But can someone control you?
Well, that's part of the story. So then these nanobots kind of type thing, nano things, flow around your body and change aspects of your DNA, like to make you look different or act different or whatever.
You know, and also, I think they're actually trying allows to do you some to see basic rudimentary science in reality.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. But it allows you to see in VR, and you can do everything in VR. Yeah. So basically, all the young people in the world are like just in VR all the time, because
iPad usage seem a little bit less prolonged, doesn't it?
But anyway, basically what's happened in this world is this virus has come along called Hydra, and it is extremely virulent, and if you get it, it makes you blow up and like into...
Oh, that's a bit depressing.
It atomizes you, and that infects other people. And the only way to be immune to it is to eat the flesh of a person who has the disease. So
this is kind of like reverse zombie
at the start.
It's like reverse zombieism.
So everyone
come
in the world,
up with these concepts. How do people come up with this?
So it feels a little bit like A Girl with All the Gifts, like kind of.
I haven't read that.
There are different things about it that it reminded me of so many other books. But anyway, so basically the population of America has gone into these underground bunker things that are controlled by this corporation, and
evil corporation,
so that they can
look
after everybody. Well, evil, maybe, you know, it's a
are they
bit
the ones
moral dilemma-y.
Are they the
thing?
Ones that accidentally created this virus and it sort of all started? Of course they are,
maybe
sorry.
They are.
Maybe I should just...
Maybe they're not.
Maybe I should just
So anyway, this girl...
Stop before I ruin the book without even reading the book.
So this girl who's... she is a brilliant, like a coder, and like her dad's was a brilliant geneticist.
Yes.
And and she can also do it, but she can't have the nanotechnology in her. She's got basic stuff. But she's got
pure.
This disease that prevents her from being able to use that stuff, or it's going to kill her, basically. So she is the key to this vaccine that her father has developed. And so the corporation comes to get her, to try and get her to develop this vaccine. It's I've described that in a very basic kind of format. But there's a love story involved, and there's some twists and turns that I actually... already guessed ahead of time, so
okay, so it's not totally
but it was a good read, and if you're into that kind of gene tech kind of you know, cyborg thing, then give
there's
it a go.
Another one for the list along with my cyborgy ones.
She's an Australian, well, but she lives in the US at the moment, so I'm counting it as Love Oz YA, even though she's not actually
she's
Aussie,
Aussie
at the moment.
She's an Aussie at heart.
This Mortal Coil. Oh gosh, what else have we got here? I'm going to start. I haven't actually started reading yet.
You haven't read very much. You kind of have.
Well, it's a whole month. I mean, it hasn't been that much. Esme's Wish by Elizabeth Foster. I haven't actually started yet, but it's a middle grade sort of teen kind of book. It's, I don't think it's middle grade. I think it is YA, but it's a girl who's going into a different world to do some adventuring. Mm-hmm. Similar, it sounds like it's similar to Midoran Chronicles, Akane and that, yep. that Lynette Noni books. And also at the moment I've got, I'm giving away two copies of Esme's Wish, actual physical copies. Elizabeth Foster has kindly offered to give two copies away to Australian readers. So fabulous. Go to teaintheTreetops.com and have a look at that giveaway. So it sounds like it's really good. So I'm going to read that next. And I'm desperate to read Tower of Dawn, but...
I'm quite embarrassed that we haven't read that. Neither of us.
Terrible.
Us, who normally reads and has
big
read...
fan girls.
And, like, I just haven't had... And I want to commit to it properly. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I feel like I need a reread. I mean, I know I don't because it's sort of... It's set parallel. In a linear
Need to reread Queen of Shadows, really, to get to that.
I don't think I've got the commitment in me at the moment.
Well, I've got so many books.
I'm looking at
in
some gorgeous books there too, I can't believe you've got the new Philip Pullman book. And I'm just
I just got the Book of Dust. Let's talk about Christmas presents.
We'll put our metaphorical Santa's hats on.
Yes.
I'm not prepared for Christmas.
On.
You do know that, right?
No,
I'm not prepared.
I haven't even thought about it.
I feel like I've barely read anything to really be very good at this.
Are we going to start at the beginning?
Books
Let's do multiple categories. So we've got picture books for little ones. These ones that I've got on this list are older books that we have loved and read over and over again forever. So if you have little ones under the age of five, although my big one also loves to read these again and again.
I don't know either of them.
So Journey, I'll show you. The
cover is gorgeous.
Journey by Aaron Becker is a book. It has no words. It is a picture book completely.
Oh,
but
Caitlin
would
like this one. It's got no words for her to be stressed about.
It's got
actually,
the most beautiful
I've seen this book.
Pictures in it.
I don't know if I've seen it since having children, but I have seen this book.
This little girl, she's got this magic crayon and she draws a door in the wall.
Awesome idea.
And goes through it.
So it's all about
the
imagination.
And then she goes through a magical journey to all these different places. And my kids just love this because they tell the story to me. Like, they will see.
Awesome.
They will describe what's happening.
I have definitely seen it. So I don't know if you've shown it to me or if we were together when you bought this, because I feel like we were somewhere where we were looking at this.
Maybe I've told you about it before.
Maybe.
But it's just beautiful. So if you've got little ones who, even if they don't read yet.
My Maddie would probably like that because she likes to tell me the story.
Oh, good. It's always good.
And I'm like, do you want me to look at the words to make sure you're all right? And she goes, no. And I'm like, can I at least see the picture? No. And I'm like, okay. Yes. That's beautiful, that picture book.
It is now.
So another one, which is a real growth mindset book, which is a picture book, is What Do You Do With An Idea? And it's all about a little kid. It's all pictured and very much drawing-based. And it starts with a little egg. And as far as I'm aware... the egg, like as the book goes on, it gets more colourful as this egg of an idea hatches and takes shape.
Yeah.
And it's all about imagination and, growth, mind, mindsets and...
That sounds
and
fascinating.
Taking it, and it's, I don't know, it just looked very good. I thought it had no words in it, but it actually does have writing in it.
Okay.
I think the thing that sounded really clever to me is as the book goes on, not only does the egg grow and get bigger, and this idea obviously is getting bigger, but the pages add more colour as the book goes on till at the end, it's this big, rich imagination. So I don't know. I'm planning on getting a copy for the girls for Christmas. So if it's really good, I will let you know. But if you're looking for something, not necessarily with a moral, but, trying to make people... trying to explain to kids that you shouldn't be negative about your ideas. You need to be, positive, because sometimes even the most outlandish, crazy thought can actually be something that
the
is really...
ideas.
That's right, and you should foster it.
Awesome. And do you know the author's name?
Oh, yes, the author. So it's Kobe Yamada. Apparently, this is not the only book. Apparently, he's got some other excellent books as well, which are in that sort of same... inspiring vein for gifts. So,
awesome.
And Besom or Besom, who is Chinese. So Japanese author, Chinese illustrator.
There you go. Sounds cool. I have to put it on my kids' wish list. The other book I was going to mention is called The Little Yellow Digger, which is by Betty Gilderdale. And I think it's illustrated by her husband. There are a number of Little Yellow Digger books, and they all have really gorgeous rhymes in them. And I'm a big fan of rhymes that are fun to say. Like, for instance, the Gruffalo books.
You mean you enjoy reading out loud? That I enjoy reading. That's how I feel too. Like, the Gruffalo, I love reading. Because it's just got such a great flow. It's got
cadence and rhythm are just perfect. So Little Yellow Digger is, it's just about a digger that is digging up something and it gets stuck in the mud and, you know, and then a bigger digger has to come and get it out. And it's just, it's awesome and I recommend it. There's like four or five of them and we love them. All right, now we've got a big list of middle grade books. Did you have any other picture books you wanted to mention?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay.
Because I think the main ones that we read are the real classics. Maddie likes to read to me at the moment. That's her thing. But she's gone back to a lot of the That's Not My baby books, and she likes to read them to me.
Okay. Well, they're easy to work out what the words are in the picture.
Yes, that is true. So maybe that's why she does it. And Caitlin and I honestly am just so trying to get her into those early chapter books, and we just do the home readers. That's all I can get her to do. She's so resistant. It's very sad.
Well, for middle grade, well, for people in between picture and middle grade, like the early school kids that we've got, Matthew, who's six, is really into non-fiction type books at the moment. Like, he will happily, he's got this book called How the Body Works, I think it is, but it's got, it's like got little windows all the way through it that you open and different things like that. And he would happily just read that from cover to cover. Like, and actually, a book that I've already got him for Christmas, which I have a book called Star Wars Coding Projects.
Oh.
Which is apparently for little kids. He might not like it right away, but eventually I'm hoping that he'll get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I quite liked that. I felt that there were a lot of STEM-based activities and books at that particular store.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I got that great So Science kit, which I think is awesome, you know. Just a little bit different, a little bit quirky, but for my STEM-based child, I felt that that was good.
Yeah, you've got to get them interested,
don't you? So. That's exactly right. Okay.
All right, let's quickly talk about this.
One of our more favourite genres.
Yeah. So, moving up to the middle graders, yes.
You've got a copy of this. I don't. I'm desperate to read it. I think once my exams are finished, it's probably going to be up there.
Yeah.
It gets rave reviews. Nevermore by, The Trials of Morrigan Crow. Is The Trials of Morrigan Crow actually part of the title, or is that the name of the series?
Yeah, so the series, I think, is Nevermore, and the
book is The Trials of Morrigan Crow?
Yeah, book one is The Trials of Morrigan Crow.
By Jessica Townsend. It's just gotten rave reviews.
Yeah.
Have you actually read it yet?
No, but we were hoping to go to the launch the other week, but you didn't actually go to that, did you? It was Friday afternoon. It was really badly timed.
Badly timed for me, but yes.
It's been very favourably compared to Harry Potter.
Yes.
And there are a lot, I've seen a lot of posts of people on Instagram and stuff saying that their kids can't put it down and they love it.
Which is what you want from a book that kids cannot put down.
Yep. And it sounds amazing. A bit little darker than Harry Potter maybe, because it's about this kid who's supposed to die on her 10th birthday or something.
Oh, okay.
And she's got to go to this Nevermore place and join this
Magnus Chase kind of managed to incorporate
because he dies
and goes to Valhalla. You can't go to Valhalla without dying, so
yeah, well, that's and yet an they managed
that
story.
They managed that quite well.
Yeah,
I thought I was a bit like, this is a bit full-on for middle grade, but as I did it, I was like, well, you don't really feel like it was being a big change. I mean, the reality is it probably was skimmed over a little bit, but you know.
Oh, well, you don't want to dwell too much on it when it's a kid's book.
But, that's exactly right.
But, yeah, this one sounds amazing, and I'm really hoping to read it very soon.
I'm really excited to read it too.
So she's from the Sunshine Coast, so that's good. We love our local
local
authors.
We do, and I don't know if it's middle grade, but Jacqueline Moriarty, you've got a copy of.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Have you actually got the copy? Because I want to see it and sniff
it
and cuddle it.
It is really beautiful.
I love Jacqueline Moriarty. I absolutely love her stuff. And I'm really excited that she's...
The Extremely Inconvenient Adventures of Bronte that Metal Stone. That is just
beautiful.
It's a hardcover version.
This is a great Christmas so present looking lovely. Book. Do you know what I mean when they do a really good quality hardcover? It's got
gold foil on the outside of it. And
it's still so very much a middle grade look.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
I would have been stoked to get a book like that for Christmas when I was a kid.
It looks amazing.
I really want to read that one too. So I think I'm going to go on a bit of a middle grade kick next. I'm going to read all the middle grade
Jacqueline
stuff.
Jacqueline Moriarty has just got that beautiful mix of whimsical, quirky fantasy that I... Oh, look, if she can pull this one off, that's...
It's illustrated too, right? It's got little
pictures. It has got little pictures. Not many. It's got some. This is beautiful. They've made that good. They've just made that so well. That's a great Christmas one. But that's out. That's just out for Christmas, really. If it's just come out. Or has it come out yet?
I think so.
Or have you got review?
No, I think this one's just come out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Speaking of stunning-looking books, mm-hmm. know that they've had the illustrated Harry Potter books coming out gradually, and the third book, Prisoner of Azkaban?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I get them mixed up in the middle there. It's coming out in time for Christmas too, but they've also putting out Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them illustrated version, which looks beautiful as well. I mean, the original book of the Fantastic Beasts is just a list of
I know,
creatures.
And then they made the whole movie, of which, do you know what, I haven't watched. It's on Netflix. I started watching it with Caitlin and then Maddie got really stupid.
You swore it at the movies though, didn't you? Oh, okay.
No, this is the thing. I'm so out of it. I've really gone out of it this year.
It's good. It's not, like, I don't
I
think
haven't
it was
been
a,
able to get too
another
into
Harry
it,
Potter
I have to
movie.
Admit.
It's not as mind-blowing as the Harry Potter movies.
I know.
It's good. I enjoyed it. But anyway.
I will get there. I'm so pathetically behind, aren't I? I don't really have an excuse
book
to be on this.
Looks really gorgeous. Okay, so the other... Let's move on because running out of time. So the next middle grade book that is more of a sort of older middle grade teen book is this Paladero series by Stephen Loughran, which is
the dinosaur
knight herder people. The Riders of Thunder Realm is the first one and the second one's out. The third one's coming. It's basically... what it says on the tin, so dinosaurs, people who ride them, and like a steampunk kind of feel to the whole thing. And great adventure, very inclusive. I just love it. I loved the first one. The second one was still up there. I didn't love it as much as the first, but it's still great.
Yep.
And worth a read.
There
buy
you
it
go.
For your boy or girl of a teen kind of age.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was York by Laura Ruby. Now, you read this one. I've got it there.
Oh, look,
I loved it.
It's just excellent. It's, again, look, I haven't read Nevermore. I can't say if they're up to scratch, but I would have said York would be a really good one to suggest to your Harry Potter fan. It's more magical realism.
It's New York, right?
It's New York. But I don't really want to say too much. There's some twists, but it's just... you know, really smart, witty kids in it. They're a little bit, I think they're like maybe 13-year-olds, maybe. Yep. So it's kind of on that middle grade YA, right in that in between, like lower YA, upper middle grade. So, but it's just awesome. And it's a big, like, mystery, hunt down the clues in New York City type thing. It's excellent. And it's got some Hamilton crossover I'm just going to put out there. So that was an extra buzz and thumbs up for me.
Yep.
Once I've read Nevermore, maybe by next one, I'll be able to tell you which one I thought was better. But if you could, I'd buy them both for your middle grade kids.
Wow, okay.
York is excellent, yeah.
I've got to read that.
You do. It's easy read. You'll love it. You've just got a massive list at the moment.
Okay. And Book of Dust?
That's middle grade, surely. Or is it YA? Have you put
it
in YA?
In the middle, I guess. It's like...
I just feel it's because I think Golden Compass was such a middle grade that I assume this was, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, so the Book of Dust is the newest Philip Pullman book that's just come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prequel to the Mortal Instruments.
Oh, is it still in the same land? See, this is how
the other
little,
one called?
to the, it's not the Golden Compass series,
it's something, is Dark Materials.
His Dark Materials, I've got
Cassie Clare on the brain for some reason. so, yeah, Golden Compass and that. And it's been a long time since I read those, but I loved them. And I'm really looking forward to reading the Book of Dust. I don't know when I'm going to get to it, but
I know.
I will try and read that very soon. So that's the other big Penguin blockbuster that's coming out around now. The other one is Turtles All the Way Down from John Green, which we're not huge John Green fans, but
no.
It's highly anticipated since it's been such a long time since John Green put anything else out. So
that's all right. If he did it well, that's probably all that matters. He must have a lot of pressure on him now because he's had so many winners.
Yeah, that's right. He has bestsellers. All right, let's quickly look at this YA. I mean, we already talked about the John Green book, but in more of the fantasy, since we do like to mainly read that, fantasy sci-fi, we've got, we both love Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor.
That was excellent. When is the next one out? I feel like it's been nearly a year.
No, I don't think it has. It was earlier in the year, but I think it was like April, May. Okay,
so it's still got a while.
If you want to hear more about that, that's like proper high fantasy type thing.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our episode where we reviewed it.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't say too much about it now. But the other one that's coming out in December, I'm sorry for the overseas listeners because I don't think it's coming out till January for you guys. But at the beginning of December, we're getting Unearthed by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner.
Even though Megan Spooner's from the US, they're not going to give it. It's being released as in Australia. Is it in Australia?
I'm pretty sure it's Alan and Unwin, and they're doing it first.
Okay.
And overseas. Okay. I'm not sure who's publishing it overseas. But
yeah.
Unearthed is like Tomb Raider in space. So
well, look, Amy Kaufman's done some awesome space opera style books. Let's be real.
Brilliant.
It's in her vein. I think it could be good.
Yeah. And so then we had a couple of contemporary YA ones that I've loved this year, and you. So Words in Deep Blue by Kath Crowley was the Children's Book Council winner this year, I think. And so that was. It's just about the love of books, basically, in the way that books, affect people in different ways, but we can become, like, joined together by our love of books and that kind of thing. So people pass notes in these books in this bookshop. And
that sounds sweet.
It's a romance, but there's a lot of social kind of things in this book as well. But I really loved it, and just met Kath Crowley the other week and she signed my copy. I was really happy. So that's worth a look at. We've also obviously talked about it already, semi-definitive list of worst nightmares.
Yes, I think I'll be putting that on my Christmas list.
Yeah, get that into the hands of your teen.
Yeah, and I thought I'd also add that They Both Die at the End by Adam Silvera, just because I thought it was A, an excellent story, but B, it also was a very inclusive story. So, you know, it doesn't do it as you don't feel like it's trying to do it to be cool, but it is inclusive from different, you know, race point of view, homosexuality. It's also not a traditional contemporary. It does have some sort of science fiction elements, and the fact that technology is definitely more improved to what we have today.
Oh, okay. Yep.
But I'd still classify it as contemporary because it's dealing with a lot of contemporary veins of thought, such as love, you know, romance, social status, all of those sorts of bits and pieces too. It's just an excellent story. It's great.
Yeah, I want to read that one at some point.
It's got an awesome cover. Nice. I'm just going to put out there as well.
Does it?
I think so. It's a very clever cover for the book.
Okay. Oh, and we wouldn't be fans without mentioning Lady Helen and the Dark Days Club.
We must be getting that one earlier than the US too.
Apparently we have the last delayed two. Till next year, though. It's not coming out.
Look, as long as she does it, if she needs extra time, I'm willing to let her have the extra time to make it super epic.
So this is historical. So it's basically, if you've been listening to us, you know what Lady Helen is about. But so in overseas, it's just called the Dark Days Club. It's basically a cross between Pride and Prejudice and Buffy. So
yeah, that's pretty
Regency times, demons. Tentacles.
Just listen to our previous podcast for more on the tentacle side of things.
Yeah, it's so good. And the first two are out and we, you know how much of fans we are when we actually have a book club that is entirely focused around like ill and excuse me. But yeah, get that one. And I think the third one, it has now been delayed until 2018, but I don't know.
I'm willing to accept that as long as it's not too much of a delay.
Yes. All right, so we've just gone through the kids and the teen stuff. Adult stuff, I don't know if there's... I haven't read a lot of actual, like, adults in...
The new Dan Brown, Robert Langdon, for those that are still on the Da Vinci Code high, I don't know, yeah. That's a while ago now. The new one just got released, I think, in the end of September.
Okay.
Origin. So I'm sure it's on that same vein because he's very formulaic in his writing.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I will read it probably, seeing I'm redoing the first one at the moment. But yes, we will see.
You can, for people who aren't so much into fantasy but do like the kind of mystery kind of aspect, go for Liane Moriarty.
Oh yeah, everything she writes is excellent.
We like her work. Yeah, definitely. Very good character relationship type.
Yeah.
Stories.
If you liked Big Little Lies, a TV show, give the book a go. It's more a little quirky, different,
isn't it?
Much more Australian. Yes. Look, I actually quite liked the TV show, but the book was just, it just had the humour better. It was a quirky, humorous book, and you just don't get that in the movie at all. You have a telemovie, miniseries, whatever it's called.
I think the thing that appealed to me most about that book was that the kids would starting school, and just that feeling of being
a mum. Well, we were about to start school. We were about to become school mums.
The feeling of becoming a school mum was really spot on. So, yeah, that appealed.
Except, yeah, there's not the high
except we weren't. Yeah, we weren't in the rich part of Sydney.
But the thing is, though, it's not that sort of... Well, it's a coastal town, but it's like they up.
Isn't it the North Beaches somewhere?
Oh, like, I thought it was like a little coastal town just out of Sydney. Oh,
I thought it was like...
And it's like a bit of an artist hangout place. But like when they did it as the tele movie series, mini series thing, they were all like high-powered executives and earning a bucket load of money, somewhere like in San Fran or something.
North of...
Oh, maybe it was in northern Sydney beaches somewhere.
Anyway,
yeah.
Never mind. We'll look that up later. I should mention that, excuse me, for fantasy fans, Kim Wilkins and Kate Forsyth have joined forces to write a book called The Silver Well, which is a collection of stories based in different time periods, I believe, but set in the town of Kern Abbas in England. And in around the ruined abbey that's there. And I thought that just sounded so fascinating because I love that kind of crap. And that it's being launched at Avid Reader at the end of November. So,
well, hopefully.
Check it out. Hopefully they both have it. Basically, if you're looking for fantasy books to read, go for either one of those two authors. Their books are really fantastic, all of them. So we've given you a bit of a list there of books that you might be able to give someone for Christmas, but if you feel like we've missed anything that would make a great Christmas present, please tell us about it. There's so many great books that have come out this year.
I know, I feel overwhelmed.
Haven't got to them. So if you would like to send us feedback, you can email us to contact@teaandthetreetops.com or you can tweet us @teatreetops.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Bye.